And into Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. As you're turning, we would like to ask you to remember some special prayer requests. Keep Brother Calvin and Lexi in your prayers. They went to Virginia yesterday for a funeral for one of Calvin's aunts, and they're traveling back today. So just pray for traveling mercies for them as they travel back, and pray that God would give them the mercies upon the road that they need. And then continue to pray for Sister Sherry and her family. I tell you what, it takes a long time for the scars of that hurt to heal. Amen. And some folks never heal in an entire lifetime. But just pray that God's comfort and God's grace would sustain them. And then we got word this morning as we was coming into church, your sister-in-law stopped us in the parking lot and asked us to pray for Debbie's brother, Joe. He's back in the hospital, he's been in the hospital a few days, and they're having trouble with getting his heart out of AFib, and his kidneys are deteriorating. So we just ask you to pray for Joe, if you would, in a special way. And then pray for Brother Curtis, talking to Sister Peggy before service. And she said now he's having to deal with macular degeneration and is taking shots in the eyes on top of everything else that he's going through. You know, sometimes we feel like Job, amen, and it just seems like there's one thing after another, but it's just the Bible fulfilling what it tells us about this temple in which we dwell. It's temporary, amen. The Bible says it's corruptible. That means it's going to deteriorate, and we see that and we know it, and the Bible is true in what it says. And you know, this morning sometimes we go through trials and we go through troubles and we face situations in life. And although we acknowledge God and we give God glory and honor, sometimes we wonder, how can God meet this need this time? How can God do it? We're going to preach to you about that this morning because He's above everything. Amen. He's above all. He's greater than the death that rips our hearts and lives to pieces. Amen. Because He's the giver of life. Amen. He's greater than our trials and our troubles because He's the burden bearer and He's the one that takes our trials and troubles upon Him. He can do anything. There's nothing impossible for God. Turn in your Bibles if you haven't already. Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. Let's stand to our feet this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word. Our altar is always open. We always like to say that and like you to know that. And let you know that if you need to come, you're not going to disturb me. Amen. You're not going to bother the service. You'll just enhance the service and just add to the service when we're willing to surrender and submit ourselves unto God. In Isaiah chapter number 40, we're going to begin reading in verse number 12. The Bible says, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in the scales, and the hills in the balances? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are all counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, and that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as a vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom will ye liken me? Or who shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number? He calleth them by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? God's people have been forewarned of captivity that's to come. They've been forewarned of the penalty of their sin that's coming upon them. And God has used the prophet Isaiah to preach and to teach unto his people and to tell them about their sins and to tell them of his desire to restore them and to bring them back into a right relationship with him. And throughout the book of Isaiah, we see a division that allows us to understand and to comprehend the book a little bit better. In chapters 1 to 35, we see the prophetic chapters of the captivity and of the condemnation of the nation for their sin. In chapters 36 through 39, we see the historic chapters, the historic revelation on how that is revealed to us of their confiscation of the things that happened historically. We can go back in history and we can look at the things that God said was going to happen prophetically, and we can see that historically they have happened just like God's word has said they was going to happen. You know, everything in God's word happens just like God says it's always going to happen. Amen. And we see the confiscation, but we see in chapters 40 through 66 the messianic prophecies and the consolation, the comfort that he gives up to Israel. As he begins in chapter 40, he begins with the words, "Comfort ye, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord." And he says there will be one to come. There'll be one who brings forth the message. One that's crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way, for the Lord is coming." Amen. And I tell you what, God hasn't changed. He still has those who are crying to prepare, for the Lord is coming. That's why I'm here this morning. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is coming. I'm here to tell you this morning that you need to prepare yourselves for the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, amen, and he's going to come when you least expect it. He's going to come if you're unprepared or if you've made preparations. He's coming irregardless, and I'm here to tell you this morning it could be any moment, amen. And then he ends the chapter with this great thought, a very familiar verse. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." God's people have been delivered a blow that is telling them their sin is going to condemn them to bondage. He's even specific in how they will be carried into bondage and where they will go into bondage. And he allows them to know and allows them to be warned and allows them to prepare that they don't have to go into bondage. He says, "Come and let us reason together, saith the Lord." Amen. "Though your sins be as as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Amen. He wants restoration. He wants to have his people in the right way, in the right frame, and in the right mind with him, that his will might be accomplished. But his people have rejected him. And as they rejected him, and as they continued to just disregard the prophetic message that was sent before them, the preachers who came, as Isaiah and Jeremiah and Obadiah and some of the, we can go all through the prophets and see that as they came and as they warned God's people, they did not take heed to what God was saying. Much like the world today, amen? We stand and we warn people about the dangers of rejecting and refusing God, and yet they still reject, and yet they still refuse day by day. We was just talking the other night, and you hear me preach all the time. We tell folks about the dangers of sin. They go out of the church, they go do it anyway, and they come back, and for I just don't know how this could have happened. Well, yeah, you do. Amen. Yeah, you do. The sin is the problem. The sin is the root. The sin is what is causing these things to happen. But God wants to be a comforter. I'm thankful that Paul says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that he is the God of all comfort, that comforts us in our tribulations. Praise God. I'm glad that in the midst of all this warning, in the midst of all this condemnation of sin, in the midst of telling us that he's going to pour his wrath out upon us, praise God, he's got a message of comfort, amen. In the midst of preaching about hell, I can preach about salvation through Jesus Christ, his son. In the midst of condemnation, where we'll stand, or those who don't know Jesus will stand before the great white throne judgment, amen. There's the hope of those whose names are written in the book, whose names have been sealed by the blood of the Lamb, those who have the hope and the promise of eternity. I'm glad in the midst of a place called hell, and in the message of a place called hell, there's a hope through Jesus of a place called heaven. Amen. I'm glad that in the midst of an eternity that separates one from his Creator, that separates one from his God, that separates one from the very one who gave himself for our sins to redeem us from the curse of sin. Amen. There's a heaven, and there's a hope, and there's an eternity in his presence. Heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. Amen. We'll be just like him. The Bible says when he comes, we'll be like him. Amen. I'm thankful today for the God's message of comfort. Sometimes, though, we wonder, how is God going to comfort me? How can God meet my needs? How can God do all these things? We see this condemnation. We see over the course of time that the Jews were carried into Babylonian bondage. It didn't happen all at once. It happened gradually. 605 was the first bunch that was carried into bondage. 597 B.C., the second group was carried into bondage. In 586 B.C., Jerusalem finally fell, and the remainder of the Jews were carried into bondage. They were carried into Babylonian captivity. But praise God, he had done told them that they wasn't going to stay there. He done told them that that wasn't the end. He done told them that there would be a time of restoration, a time of reunion, a time when they'd be able to go back home and go back to the way things used to be. And praise God, in 536, under the Persian rule, the Jews were permitted to go back home. And praise God, I don't know about you, but I'm looking for the time when God's people can go home. Amen. I'm looking for the time when we're no longer separated. We're no longer kept apart from perfect and unhindered fellowship and an unhindered relationship because of the stains of sin. But praise God, we're home. Amen. You know, there's nothing like being home. Amen. My wife gets mad at me. She says, as soon as we get somewhere, you're ready to go home. We go on vacation. We get vacation. I start planning on when I'm going home. Amen. You know what it is? I like home. Amen. I got a happy wife. I got a happy life. Home's a happy place. Amen. I like being home. Amen. If I didn't have to leave home, I'd be satisfied. Amen. I'm serious. If I never had to leave the place, I'm perfectly happy. I don't have to go anywhere. I'm happy being home. Amen. But I realize that down here, I'm just a pilgrim and a stranger. Amen. I realize that because of sin, amen, I've been separated. Because of sin, I've been kept away a while. But I realized that when they got freed to go back, some went back right away. It took some a little longer to get back, and some never wanted to go. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to go. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to going. Yes, amen. Amen. But sometimes we say, in the midst of all this, why am I going through all? Why do I have to deal with death? Amen. Why do I have to deal with problems in life? That poor old Amanda, every time you turn around, they're going to do away with her job. And she has to get hired by another group or another bunch or something. And she's constantly asking for prayer. She's worked in the same place for umpteen years now. Amen. But every time you turn around, it's, you know, you can't be sure that the job's there. She's got to make sure that she has a job. She don't know whether tomorrow she's going to have a job again. They might tell her, if you don't have a job no more, we're closing down again. And praise God, somehow, in some way, God always meets the need. Amen. And God always supplies. Amen. Just like He always does. I was talking to Sister Sherry. I hope you don't mind me sharing this just before church. Sometimes we ask for God to do things, and He does them in His way. He doesn't do them in our way, but praise God, we're thankful that He knows the way that He needs to deal with problems, and He needs to deal with the situation, and He needs to deal with our petitions, and we can allow Him to do it. But how does He know what I need? How does He know how to do this? And preacher, you just don't know what I'm dealing with. And preacher, you just don't know what I'm going through. I don't know if God is able. Let me tell you something this morning. He's able and He's willing and He wants to. He says, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. Amen. Let me give you some scripture here. Let me share a few thoughts with you this morning of how I know God is able. He's able to save to the uttermost. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to ask Him and invite Him into your heart and let Him save you. Let Him give you a new life. Amen. Let Him birth you into His family. And praise God, He'll change you like you never dreamed of being changed. And He'll do things in your life like you never thought could be done. Amen. Let me tell you, you didn't have burdens, amen, that need to be lifted. You didn't have burdens that need to be carried. You can bring them to God. Amen. It says, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. How can I cast my cares? How do I know that He can? I'm going to show you. Yeah. Amen. I'm going to tell you. You say, preacher, you just don't know. I don't need to know, because I know the one that does know. Amen. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your problem is. I don't know what you're dealing with. You might need to be saved. You might have sin in your life that you need to repent of. You might have problems that are about to send you under. Problems like old brother Job had that are trying your faith, trying your patience, and trying to tear you apart. But praise God, I want you to know something this morning. My God is able. Amen. And my God can. Look at what He said in verse number 12. He says, who hath measured, the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heavens with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in the scales, and the hills in the balance. Do you know this morning that the one that we're talking about, the one that can meet your need, the one that wants to bring comfort to you, the one that wants to help you, the one that wants to do what you need done in your life, is the Creator of all things. Amen. Do you know the Bible says, and listen, God is not a man. We try to think of God in manly terms. They call him the man upstairs. I hate that. Sister Mary does too. I hate that. The man upstairs. The big feller in the sky. The Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. But sometimes God knew that it was necessary for him to take on a human form. We read about the angel of God that came and visited Abram. Amen. We read about the angel of God that has appeared at different times. Oh, I can't think of the term for it right now. There's a term for that. But he sometimes shows himself. But sometimes he has to be described in the terms of a man for us to understand him, for us to comprehend him. And he says, who's measured? God could hold the whole universe, not just the water of this earth in his hand. God can hold the whole universe in his hand. But God is a spirit. But he wants us to know that he's got it all under control. Amen. He's able because he's greater than the sum of everything that he has created. Amen. He's greater than the waters. Listen, he said he's meted out of, he's placed the heavens where they are. He knows every star by name. Astrologers are still looking into the heavens. They're still mapping the heavens. They've been at this for hundreds of years now. And they're still trying to name and to number and to catalog the stars and the solar systems and everything they see. But do you know that God has placed every one of them where they are individually, and God already, the Bible says, knows them all by name. Amen. Science tries to disprove the Word of God. Amen. But God is well and far beyond what scientists will ever know and what scientists will ever achieve. He knows not only the grains of the sand on the sea. The Bible tells us he can even number the hairs on our head. That's a harder job for some of us than others. Amen. But he numbers the very hairs upon our head. Praise God. He knows that, but he knows the number of the grains of sand in this world. Amen. Try to fathom this. And not only that, he knows every grain of dust that a grain of sand can make. We look at the mountains. I've seen the Alps. I've never been out west. I've never seen the Rocky Mountains. I want to go see them one day. I've seen the Alps. And from hundreds of miles away, you can see the Alps. Amen. It is something to see the peaks of the Alps sticking up and the snow cap on them. And you know, they're probably 200 or 300 miles away from where you're at. It was spectacular. It was amazing. God says he's weighed them. Amen. I stood in awe. And God just says, oh, look at that. A little mountain. I stood in awe, and I said, oh my. I said, oh, look at that little hill. Amen. We wonder, how is God going to deal with my problems? Let me tell you how. In power and in might. Amen. Because he's greater than the sum of everything that has been created. He's greater than your problem. He's greater than your sin. Amen. He's greater than your condemnation, and he can meet the need that you have in your life. Look, he said, who hath directed his spirit, the spirit of the Lord, or being a counselor, hath taught him? Whom took he to counsel? Who instructed him? Who taught him in the path of judgment? And who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? You know what? When God created this world, he didn't have to counsel with nobody. He done it with himself. Amen. He spoke a perfect world into a perfect existence. He even made a perfect man and a perfect woman and put them in a perfect environment and gave them a perfect law to live by. Amen. But you know what? Man wanted to do things his own way. Amen. Man wanted to choose his own design and his own desire. And instead of listening to God, man listened to the devil. And sin was introduced into the human race. Amen? And the thing about it is sin is basically disobeying the Word of God, but sin is telling God, you didn't do it right. I want to do it my way. Amen? You're not right there when you say, I can't have this. I want to do it my way. You're not right there when you say, I've got to do it this way. I want to do it my way. God said he never had to ask you. He never asked Adam and Eve. And now, I want you to take and eat of this tree and that tree. If that's all right with you, and maybe we'll just exclude this one. Do you mind if we don't eat of this tree over here? God never said that. God never took counsel with any man and asked man his opinion. God tells us what we need to know. God tells us what he needs to impart unto us. God wants us to understand that his wisdom and his knowledge surpasses anything that we could even comprehend. Amen. Amen. We don't understand what sin is going to do. Right. We can get told. But we don't realize what sin does in our life until we allow it to have its free reign. And it destroys us. God didn't ask man's opinion because man's wisdom is imparted to him as a gift from God. Amen. Look. Every thought, every achievement, every accomplishment, every advancement that mankind has ever made is because God has imparted unto him the ability to think and to reason and to learn and to gain knowledge. As a matter of fact, in the book of Proverbs, he tells us to seek knowledge, but not just any knowledge. To seek that godly knowledge. Amen. He tells us there's no problem with being wise and having great wisdom. But he tells us with all the learning that we get and all the wisdom that's imparted unto us to get an understanding. An understanding of what? That God is still omnipotent. That God is still on the throne. That God's still in control. And God still knows what's best. He doesn't have to ask our opinions and he doesn't have to see if it's all right with us because he already knows what's best. He already has this all figured out. Look, it says, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted him less than nothing and vanity. We want to brag about who we are. God's not motivated. He's not moved. He's not impressed in the least by any kingdom. We look back in history. We see and we're taught about the Assyrian Empire and how great it was. And the Egyptian Empire and how great it was. We're taught about the Babylonian Empire and how great it was. The Roman Empire and how great it was. And all these things were just tools that God used in his time. And had God manipulated in his way to fulfill his purpose. Even when Cyrus was coming into Babylon, and Cyrus the Persian was about to eliminate and about to do away with the Babylonian Empire, the way the Babylonian Empire had ever known that it would exist, God had already prophesied in the book of Isaiah. A few hundred years beforehand, that Cyrus was going to be there. You see, we get wrapped up We worry about the Russians and the Koreans. We boast about being Americans. And let me tell you what, I'm proud to be an American. Amen. Amen. I am proud to be an American. Amen. But America, and America thinks that God, I don't know, sometimes I think Americans think that God revolves around them. Amen. When Americans need to realize that we exist only because of God's providence. Amen. Only because of God's promise. Only because of God's blessing. We brag about being Americans and we brag about being a godly people and live as ungodly as any of the rest of the heathens in the rest of the world. We brag about our citizenship. We brag about our nationalism and the nation that we come from. And praise God, I tell you what we need to get more concerned about and what we need to start looking about is whether we're a citizen of the city of the New Jerusalem. Jerusalem, amen. Whether we're a citizen of heaven or not. And you know, you can know I have a dual citizenship. Amen. I have one in this world and I have one in the glory world. And I sealed and secured and made sure that my citizenship in heaven. One day when I asked Jesus into my heart and I was birthed and born into his family. And praise God, I know that I know that I know that I know when I depart this world. Amen. I've got another home awaiting me. I'm proud to be an American, but I'm not so wrapped up and so worried about being an American. I know I've got a lot of friends. Amen. Some of them, Brother Josue Andrade, he holds dual citizenship in this world. But praise God, he holds citizenship in another world. Amen. And you know what citizenship he tells everybody about as he travels through the Honduras telling people about Jesus? He's telling them about heaven. Amen. He's telling them about someplace else. The Honduras is considered right now to be the most dangerous country on the face of the earth. I don't see how they come up with that, but they have the greatest crime rate. Amen. It's probably not the most dangerous, but they say it's dangerous, and it is dangerous there. And praise God, Josue, he goes about, whether he's walking up into the mountains. Sometimes he can drive, sometimes he can't. Brother Chris went to preach with him one time, and they had to ride dirt bikes up the side of the mountain through the river and everything else. Chris said, I was scared to death to get there. And they got up there and preached and then had to come all the way back down that mess. Amen. Just to preach the word of God. Just to tell them about another country. Amen. He don't preach to them about America. He preaches to them about heaven. He don't preach to them about getting citizenship and worried about getting citizenship and worried about becoming an American. He preaches to them about becoming a Christian because America is nothing. And one day, America will not exist anymore. But praise God, the country in which I'm going, the city in which I'm going to dwell is a city that's going to be forever and eternal. Look, I got to hurry. I didn't look at that man. Hey, man, he said, look, Lebanon can't even supply enough burnt offerings. Amen. There's not a country in this world that can honor God the way that God needs to be honored. If we realize who God is and if we realize he's greater than the greatest thing. You know what? We brag about all our ability, all our nuclear weapons and our military might. And we brag and we go on about it and how great a country we are. Do you know what the loudest sound that was ever heard on the earth? Some of you heard me. I preached this to you before. The loudest noise that has ever been heard and recorded on the face of the earth, do you know what it was? Some people say, well, it had to be the atomic bombs that were maybe dropped on Hiroshima, Nagasaki. Maybe it's some of the nuclear missiles that have been detonated to be tested in the Cold War era. Nope. All the bombs that were dropped in the Middle East in Desert Storm and Desert this and Desert that, whatever it has been afterwards. Couldn't account for what God did one day in the South Pacific in a little island by the name of Krakatoa. Anybody ever heard of the island of Krakatoa? It was a volcano. When it erupted, the explosion from the power of Krakatoa was heard around the world. Every civilized nation that had the forethought to record the effect and to record the sound, there's a record of it somewhere on that day that they heard that explosion. You know who that was? That was my God, just showing that he's greater than any of the nations. You know what I'm going to have to do? You're going to get a twofer. Amen. But you know what I want you to know? You know what God wants you to know? He's able. That's what he's trying to tell us. He's able. You know what? America is messed up. America is screwed up. Amen. And has been for some time. Amen. And you can't depend on anything in America. You can't depend on a political party. You can't depend on the politicians. You can't depend on the social programs or anything else. But I'll tell you what you can depend on. You can depend on Jesus. Amen. You can depend on Jesus. The Bible says he saves to the uttermost. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. He wants to save you this morning. He wants you to know that he's able to save you. He wants you to know that he has the power to save you. How do you know that? Because they nailed him on an old rugged cross. And he told them before they ever done it. Amen. He told them before they ever done it that it was going to happen. He told them that he was going to lay down his life. He was going to die. But praise God, he told them on the third day he was going to rise again. And you know what? He lives today. He's a risen Savior. He's victorious. You know how I know he can save you and save you to the uttermost? Because he's victorious over death. He's victorious over our sin. He came, the Bible says, he was magnified that he might take away our sin. He was magnified that he might abolish sin. He might take away sin. He might overcome sin. He come that we could have life. He died and rose again so that you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he has the power and the ability to do what he says he's going to do. And he says, if thou will confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How can he do that? Because there's nothing that prevents him. There's nothing that keeps him. He says, if you have sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How do I know that he can do that? Because he has time and time again. I can attest to it in my life. Others can attest to it in their lives. You say, preacher, I'm just going under. I'm swamped. I'm overwhelmed. How do I know? How do I know that I can bring my problems to Jesus? Because there's not been one account given to where God ever failed to do what was needed and what was necessary in someone's life. He didn't always do what they wanted, but he always done what was necessary. Paul said, I sought the Lord thrice, three times. He asked the Lord to remove a thorn in his flesh. God said, no, I'm not going to take away the thorn, but I'm going to give you something that'll get you through it. He said, my grace is sufficient. And you know what the Bible says? He gives more grace when we need it. How do I know that he can do that? Because he's done it before. How do I know? Because he's done it for me. How do I know? Because I've seen him do it for others. How do I know? Because he says he can. And he's greater than the sum of everything that has been created. There's nothing that compares to him. Man has tried to compare things to him. There's nothing that remotely is like him. Nothing that can be remotely assigned to be, well, this is God. This isn't God's place. They've tried to do it before. They made the golden calf. Amen. Several times they made their own gods. But their gods never made it, because the world passeth away and the lust thereof, those things that we build up as gods. He's in control. He knows. He's greater than anything in this world. If you read on down through the text that we read this morning, he sitteth upon the circle of the earth and the inhabitants thereof. You know, when he looks at us, he realizes how insignificant we are. Where's grasshoppers? But to whom will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Lord? There's nothing that compares. There's nothing that compares. There's nothing that you can liken or equal to God. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, let's get a song.